may have noticed on the back cover of your order of service, should anyone feel they would like to make a donation in Marion's memory, there are three destinations for your gifts there. That doesn't mean that three gifts are required. It merely offers you some choice. At the conclusion of our memorial Thanksgiving, there will be refreshments available, and we do hope that as many as possible will stay, not just for the refreshments, but for fellowship and to catch up with each other in many cases. It is a regrettable fact that it takes an event like this sometimes to bring people within compass of one another. We do not find it easy or urgent on other occasions. So let us exploit that opportunity, please. Our first hymn, The King, I beg your pardon, it would help if I turn to page one. The first hymn, Before the Throne of God Above, I Have a Strong, a Perfect Plea. A hymn that has had a new popularity. It's a very old hymn, actually. And the new tune has given it a new lease of life. Thank you.
The throne of God above, we have a strong, a perfect need. Praise whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. Name is graven on his hands, my name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. No tongue can bid me thence depart. Tempts me to despair, tells me all the guilt within. A poor I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. My sinful soul rests in his hand, my sinful soul is counted free. God the just is satisfied. Look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me. Hold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, King of glory and of grace. With himself I cannot die, is purchased by his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high, Christ my Saviour and my God. And my God.
Thank you. Please be seated. Shall we pray together? We praise you, O God. We acknowledge you to be the Lord. Too wise to make a mistake. Too loving to be unkind. We meet here today to keep faith with you, with our departed sister, and with one another. Grant that we may know life in the recollection of death and peace in the reality of our sorrow. And we pray that all may be done to bring glory to the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And we're to have a tribute to his mother now by Roger. Thank you, Roger.
Hi, thanks for coming to celebrate our mum's life today. I'm just going to say a few words, not too much. I feel sometimes I could write a book about her, but I'll do my best to try and keep it brief. She had a very full life. She was a qualified nurse, loving wife and mother, successful businesswoman. I mean, we weren't millionaires, but... That's not me. Someone's got a phone on silent. If you could put it on silent, that'd be great. We'll turn it off. She had a very full life, as say, qualified nurse. And she taught me many things and was a great inspiration on my life. Dad as well. Taught me to draw, to study, to invent and create, and I've used those skills to move on with my life and become a landscape architect and various things. So mum and dad were different, but they made, you know, that's probably why they were such a good team. I was going to go on and talk about school and things, but I don't know, mum was more of a appeaser, a mediator, turn the other cheek, really. She had a great sense of humour, and there's lots of little stories I was going to say, but it doesn't seem appropriate at the moment. I just feel that she was an amazing mother. A deep passion for plants and flowers, and I can remember her showing me how to grow stuff, and it's probably what inspired me to move on to the job that I did. But I know she had a boundless sort of potential for us and put us through different piano lessons, elocution lessons. She really wanted the best for us, and I believe she, you know, she always put us first, which was great. And I really miss her, and I'm going to miss her. I felt, especially in the later stages, I could really talk to her about anything, and she'd always offer sound advice. But she's out of pain now. She's in a far better place. So I'll just finish with this. I came across this poem by Helen Steiner Rice. It says, "A mother's love is something that no one can take away. It's made up of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It's endless and unselfish and enduring come what may. For nothing can destroy it or take that love away." Thank you.
Thank you, Roger, for that touching tribute. Needless to say, could you make sure that your mobile phones are turned off? We'll sing another hymn now. "The King of Love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever."
Strayed.
makest a table in my sight. Thy unction grace bestoweth, and all of transport of delight. Thy pure chalice floweth, and so through all the length of days, goodness faileth never. Good shepherd, may I sing thy praise in thy house. Brian will give a further tribute to his mother. Thank you, Brian.
Just add my thanks to Rogers for everybody coming here. I know that Mum's life touched other lives apart from just us as boys, as our family. He touched many other lives as well. I just want to say that it was a privilege to have Christian parents, for Mum and Dad to not just know the Lord for themselves, but to be so keen for us as their boys to come and know the Lord for ourselves as well, to have Christian parents, to know that they were praying for us. And I know that they didn't just pray for us when we were born. I know that they were praying for us before we were born, as they came together as man and wife. We know that they wanted to live for God, to live for Jesus Christ, and their prayers would have been for their potential children. We know that they prayed for us as boys right through our lives, right through school and through that difficult time when our eldest brother Paul was taken from us. We know that their faith was strong and they prayed. And I, for one, and I know my brothers are grateful for that as well, for parents who were praying parents. There were also parents, there were people of the Word of God. There were people of the Bible. One of my earliest memories of Mum was when going on holiday, or either to camp or just on holiday. One of the things I always remember when packing a suitcase was Mum just saying, make sure you put your Bible on the top, so it's the first thing that you take out when you arrive at your destination. And I still do that now, 50-odd years on, and I always remember Mum saying that. They were people of prayer, and they were people of the Word of God. They knew the importance of both. It was Mum who led me to Jesus Christ when I was 7 years old. On a Sunday evening, I think Dad was at church playing the organ or the piano or something, and we were at home and just getting put to bed, and remember just prayers and Bible reading as a regular thing of an evening. And just remember one occasion, understanding for the first time at 7 years old that Mum and Dad were going to heaven. I knew that. I had no doubt about that at all. But I wasn't sure whether I was. And I remember just praying with Mum to receive Jesus as my Lord and my Saviour, as the one who had died to forgive my sin. And at 7 years old, my life didn't change that much, but I just had that assurance that came through faith in the Saviour that Mum had as well. No parent is perfect, are they? And it doesn't matter how hard any of us try as parents. We fail, we get it wrong. And of course, Mum failed at times, and she would admit that. But I do thank God for the example that she was to me as a parent, as bringing my own children up, and now as a grandparent, of just the example that I've had in her as how to do it, because you only get one chance, don't you? We also learned, as Roger intimated, not just about family life, but about how to act in business. And I know that Mum and Dad were concerned for their Christian lives to be extended into their work life. And I just remember Mum late at night. I don't know how she did it. She had the TV on. She would have all the tax, all the accounts, the business accounts out, and she'd be working away. And then she'd be listening out. She could, her hearing was fantastic. She could hear everything that we were doing as boys. She knew exactly where we were. And she would say, "What are you doing? What are you up to?" And she'd have all these three things going on. But her concern was to get it right, to live for God, even in the nitty-gritty of business, to make sure that everything was honouring to God. And I take a lesson from her for that. They always put customers first, as well as Christians in business. They always were kind and gentle to their customers, and sometimes probably spent too much time. Many a times in their last business, they would spend over an hour with the customer, and the customer might walk out without buying anything, but they'd have a good conversation, and they'd know that Mum and Dad were caring. It always amused me that their last business at Woodman Shoes, they basically spent most of their time selling shoes to people with large and awkwardly shaped feet. But they just spent time, and it wasn't just for the soles of their feet that Mum and Dad were concerned for. They were concerned for their never-dying souls, their spiritual soul. And I remember by the till in the shop, there was always a pile of tracts or Christian booklets ready to give to someone after a conversation that they'd had with them. Many of their customers were repeat customers. They came from all over the south of England. And I believe it's because they spent time with them and put the customer first, as I mentioned. Sometimes I think their shop in Albert Road was like an Albert Road mission. They listened to people's stories. And I just remember coming home from work and Mum would tell me, "Oh, yeah, we had a great conversation with somebody today." And she would go into the details of how they'd been able to share about Jesus Christ with one of their customers. They listened to people's stories and then they endeavoured to tell them the old story of Jesus and his love. I believe that Mum made many eternal friends, and she's meeting them now and seeing them now and greeting them now. Her last words to me were, "I just want to go home to be with the Lord." And it's our joy now that Mum has now entered her eternal rest. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. It's frequently true, isn't it, that we learn more about people on occasions like this than we ever realized whilst they were with us. Thank you very much. We're going to sing our third hymn, "There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son."
I stand in glory.
Son, sending your Spirit till the work on earth is done. And now Rachel is to make a short tribute in memory of her grandmother.
On behalf of my wife, I'll read what she wrote. Marion Ayrton, known to me as Grandma Ayrton, was a kind, loving, generous woman who was devoted to her God and her family. These are not just nice words to say about her, but things that truly defined her as a person. I have wonderful memories of her, her kind nature and loving spirit. I remember her joyful laugh, which filled the room with smiles, and her devotion to my granddad, dad, and uncles. She was a natural mother. Not only did she raise four boys, but she showed care and consideration to all people and creatures, including her large collection of teddy bears. I have fond memories of visits to see her and my granddad playing in their big communal garden at the Chestnuts, admiring the beautiful flowers she had planted. I will treasure the letters she would write to me, and the trips we had together after Grandad died. Quality time together with more teddy bears in tow. I love the way she talked to people, as if everyone were a son or daughter, every crying baby a grandchild to her. To me, she truly showed the characters of Jesus Christ, her Saviour and Lord. She's inspired me to read the Bible and pray for others more, as these were things that were heavy on her heart. She inspired me to be a better wife and now mother, and with Christ's help, I pray I can serve my family with love and patience as she did all her life. And now something from the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, and on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Amen.
Thank you for that lovely tribute. And now Jake is going to read a psalm to us that was well known and well loved.
I'll be reading Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones, and not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
Thank you, Jake, very much indeed. On your order of service, it has a message by Arthur Solway. At the top of my notes, I have words of comfort. I think comfort is very relevant on an occasion like this, as many of our emotions are still raw. And be assured, I shall very gently go about my business. Comfort, to be real, has to be based on the truth. And we offer you no man-made fantasies to comfort your sadness, but we turn instead to the Word of God. I will read you a verse which shall be my text from the Gospel of Matthew. I beg your pardon, the Gospel of Mark. This is a verse upon which I have preached in another place at another time, but on this occasion I am not at all inhibited about preaching on it again, for fear of depriving you of the comforts that it contains. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." When evening had come. The evening had come for Marion. It came 12 years ago when Rob was called home to be with the Lord, and her evening deepened as, with the passage of time, her health deteriorated. When evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." The time of the departure for his disciples was of his choosing. So it was with Marion. Her life was in no way cut short. Her life was complete in the sight of God. On that day by Galilee, no doubt, the disciples, experienced mariners that they were, had some misgivings regarding the weather and the dreadful storm that soon broke out. But they accepted the will of the Lord Jesus. They went along with him, feeling safe. And so it is with us. The prospect of death brings dreadful anxieties. But the Christian faces it with confidence because we feel safe with him and desire to be according to his will. Jesus said to his disciples in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." The body, of course, perishes, but the soul, the real you, that non-physical personhood and identity that is unique to you, lives on. Jesus said, "Let us cross over." The disciples were not to make that journey alone. Jesus would be with them. So it was with Marian as she crossed over from this world to the next. She was not alone. Jesus was with her when she crossed over. And these things are a great comfort to Christians in the company today, because our lives and our souls are in the same blessed hands. His timetable shall be ours, and he will accompany us when we tread the unknown way. Let us cross over to the other side. You see, their destination was known. Their destination was certain. It was guaranteed. Marian's body has been laid to rest, but her soul has crossed over with Jesus to the other side. Be comforted, Christians, by these blessed truths. I read a couple more verses from the same passage. "Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were all with him." See, Jesus was a celebrity. The crowds followed him wherever he went. Many of them had given their hearts and lives to him and were his followers. Others were merely hoping to see a miracle or to listen intently to his words. And when he set sail from one side of the Lake of Galilee to cross, then many of them quickly got into boats to follow him. And before they had gone very far, verse 38, "A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling." No doubt some of the other little boats were smaller than the vessel in which the disciples had set to sea. And if the disciples' boat was shipping it green, then these other little boats were in even greater peril. They woke the Saviour with a mild rebuke, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He arose and uttered three words as Creator incarnate: "Peace, be still." And the great windstorm gave place to a great calm. I ask you, imagine it. How impressive can you get? Read the Gospels. And that will be your response. Jesus Christ was surely the most impressive man who has ever lived. Some men look impressive open their mouths and the illusion is destroyed. Never man spake like this man. I am a Christian. We are all Christians because we have been deeply impressed by Jesus Christ. Now, in that little flotilla of boats that sailed across Galilee that day, there were a variety of people. Some of them, as we have said, would have been followers of Jesus, no doubt. But no doubt also, many of them were not. Compare the occupants in the boats of that flotilla with our company here today. I have no doubt that many of us are followers of Jesus. I have no doubt that many of us perhaps are not. And I would defend your right not to be. But I would like to point out that when Jesus worked that miracle to save the lives of his disciples, what he did was also sufficient to save the lives of those in the other little boats. We are a collection of souls making their perilous journey through life in little vessels, our bodies. What Jesus did for me, he has done for you. What Jesus did for Marion, he has done for you. What Jesus did for his disciples was sufficient to save those in the little boats. I conclude with a personal experience. Those of you who live locally will be familiar with the Itchen Bridge between Woolston and Southampton. It's changed a little now from the time when this incident took place. But in those days, the toll booths were on one side, on the Woolston side, as they still are, and they were occupied by men and women who would take your toll money from you at the window and operate the little stop-go lights that gave you consent to pass. I had been preaching in Southampton one Sunday night. It was a particularly nasty night, and I came home over the Itchen Bridge. From the Southampton side, you cross the bridge first and come to the toll booths on the other side. I had crossed the river. I had arrived on the other side, and I offered my toll to the lady in the toll booths. She pointed to a green light and to a car just going up the incline ahead of me. "Go through," she said. "He has paid for you." I did not recognize the car. I had no idea who he was, who had paid my toll for me, was. And after a moment of bewildered hesitation, I did as the lady had told me to do. I drove past the green light safely onto the other side. I thought about this later, and the analogy is clear, isn't it? The analogy is that one day I shall cross the river, as shall we all, very probably. And I shall arrive on the other side. because I have trusted Jesus and what he did for me, it will be a case of he has paid for you, and I shall be allowed to pass. On that night, as I crossed the Itchen Bridge and received this generous gift, I wished I could have thanked him. I was denied the opportunity. I have never thanked him for what he did. But I have thanked the one who paid the price for me to safely go to heaven. And I think we should all and can all thank him and receive his gifts of forgiveness and eternal security that can only be ours through faith in Jesus Christ. Comfort indeed, eh? Comfort for us all in God's truth. May the Lord bless our readings from his word. And we're going to sing one last hymn together. God sent his son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. Thank you, Lord, for the life and witness of our dear sister Marion, mother, grandmother, auntie, and to us all, a friend. Those greatly loved are greatly missed. Meet us at our point of need, we pray, and comfort us. How blessed is the Christian's hope that we shall meet again. Until that time, help us to release her to you, retaining our precious memories and rejoicing with her that she is with Christ, which is far better. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you. We do hope you'll be able to stay behind and spend some time with us.